Writer, or really anyone handling the business side of music, you definitely know the constant headache, tracking exactly where your song gets used, and maybe more importantly, making sure those royalties, actually land in your bank account.
It really is. You could argue it's probably the most complex administrative system in creative commerce anywhere.
Absolutely. So our mission today, let's try and cut through some of that complexity. We're going to dive deep into a specific tool, a database that kind of sits right at the heart of music rights management. It's called Songdex. And this whole deep dive, just so you know, is pulled from a really useful explanation we found about this, well, foundational tool for today's music world.
And if you're an independent creator, or maybe you're managing an artist just starting out, perhaps without big label backing or a huge publishing team, well, knowing this system isn't just like optional, it's absolutely critical.
Right.
If you don't understand how these underlying rights databases work, you could literally be leaving money on the table,
Rare.
just sitting there unmatched in some digital vault somewhere.
Okay, so let's start right at the beginning then. What exactly is Songdex? How does it fit into the whole picture?
Right, so Songdex is pretty simply, it's the main data engine for music reports. And music reports is one of the really big players in the licensing world. Songdex itself launched back in 2016, and it was specifically designed to tackle the huge, massive data management problems that came with digital music.
And the scale they talk about is just, well, it's kind of breathtaking. The description we looked at actually calls Songdex the largest database of music rights and related business information in the world. That's basically claiming they cover the entire global market, right?
That's the really fascinating part of that claim, yeah. They're not just talking volume, they're talking coverage. The source says the database has detailed relational data on tens of millions of songs, recordings, and their owners.
Tens of millions.
Yeah. And it covers, and this is the key phrase, virtually all of the commercially significant music in existence.
Virtually all. That's a strong qualifier, but it's still a qualifier. Did the source material give any sense of maybe skepticism about that, or are there known blind spots, maybe certain genres that don't get picked up as well?
Well, it's generally accepted as absolutely indispensable, particularly for tracking mechanicals and digital performance rights, especially in the U.S. Now, look, no database is ever truly 100% complete, right? Especially
Oh.
with a flood of new independent music coming out constantly.
Sure, yeah.
But its main focus is really on linking the rights holders to the works that are actually being consumed digitally. So if a song is commercially viable, if it's getting plays, this database really aims to track it.
Okay, so it's huge. Got it. But what does a creator like actually use it for day to day? What are its main jobs, its core functions?
Right, so primarily it helps rights holders, well, clean up the mess, essentially. The first main function is allowing publishers, or importantly, independent creators acting as their own publishers, to search for any tracks that are currently unmatched.
Okay, let's pause there. Unmatched works. Can you break that down a bit? What does that mean exactly?
Sure. So when a digital service, let's say a streaming platform, uses your music, they track that usage. They know a payment is owed for that play. But if they search their database and the metadata they have, the title, the writer's name, maybe the publisher info, if it doesn't perfectly match up with a registered rights holder in the system,
Ah, okay.
then that song gets flagged as unmatched. The usage is tracked, the money is even sort of set aside, but the system doesn't know who to send it to.
So the cash just sits there in limbo.
Exactly. It's just waiting to be claimed.
Which makes that second function so crucial that's allowing you to actually claim and process those unmatched tracks, link them directly to your profile.
Correct. And the third main thing you can do is use Songdex to register entirely new works or even covers that you've done, making sure they're properly matched right from day one.
Okay, we've established the scale, tens of millions of songs. So the next obvious question is, how on earth do you find your specific song in that massive digital ocean? What's the starting point? How do you actually navigate this thing?
Yeah, good question. The actual walkthrough seems pretty straightforward initially. You
Sure.
basically go to the Music Reports website, find the Songdex tab, and it prompts you to search.
Okay.
You put in a title, and then there's this prompt, something like, "Are you a part of the music community?"
Right.
Clicking yes then lets you set up an account. Just standard email and password stuff. Sounds simple enough, but this is exactly where new users often hit that wall, that sort of information overload problem. Well, if you just type in a common song title, maybe something that's been covered a lot, you're just going to get pages and pages of results back. The system, as the source puts it, will yield a page or pages of information for every songwriter and publisher performer who's ever touched that title.
Right. Totally overwhelming.
It's incredibly overwhelming.
So the key, the real trick then, is filtering right away. Don't just search the title.
Absolutely. That's the biggest mistake, relying only on the title.
Okay.
People search the title, they see 400 results, they get frustrated, and they just assume their song isn't in there. The effective way, the smart way to use SongDex, is to immediately use those extra search criteria.
Like what?
Add the writer's name. Or add the specific performer's name that you're looking for. That directs the search much more precisely and takes you closer to the relevant data.
Yeah, it's good they offer multiple ways in. So you can search by title, by performer, by writer, or even by a unique SongDex ID, although you might not have that right away. Searching by writer seems like the most direct way, maybe, to see everything listed under your name.
For sure. That pulls up your whole catalog currently in their system.
Yeah.
And once you do find the result you're looking for, you get a pretty detailed view.
Hmm.
You can check the writer's name listed, the publisher or performer associated with it, the names of any albums the track appeared on, and importantly, the number of tracks recorded. So you can confirm if it's your original recording or maybe if someone else covered your song.
Yeah.
That detail is key for proving your claim.
Okay, so once we have successfully searched, we've located our works. Maybe they're matched, maybe they're unmatched. Now we need to actually do something. Let's move into the sort of operational toolkit.
Yeah.
Once you're logged in, what are the main actions a user can take?
Yeah, so once you're in, the platform basically asks, what do you want to do?
Right.
And as we kind of touched on, you can review your existing works. That's like the checking step. Then you can find and claim those crucial unmatched works. And the source notes that this process is pretty similar to the main tutorial Music Reports offers for full registration. And the third big action is registering new works or covers directly onto the registry. This is where you start building your presence proactively.
And for those new registrations, there's a choice, right? Depending on how much music you're dealing with.
Yes, exactly. A crucial choice, really, based on the size of your catalog. You can register manually, you know, one song at a time. That's fine if you have one or two new tracks.
But if you've got a backlog.
Right. If you have a significant back catalog, maybe 50 or 100 tracks you need to get in there, then you can choose the bulk registration option. And that can save a huge amount of admin time.
Makes sense.
But that bulk option requires you to download a specific spreadsheet template and fill it out very accurately.
The dreaded spreadsheet,
yes.
Yeah.
So it's a trade-off. A bit more effort up front with data entry, but potentially massive long-term efficiency if you have lots of songs.
Yeah, efficiency is absolutely everything when you're likely the only person doing this job for your music. Which brings us neatly to the core utility question. Who really benefits most from a tool like this? Who is the primary user here?
Well, based on everything we looked at, this platform seems almost tailor-made for the independent songwriter.
Okay.
It really provides a level of access and control that, you know, maybe years ago was mostly restricted to the major publishers with big departments. It's especially useful if you don't have a music publishing administrator handling things for you.
Right.
You don't have a full publisher backing you, or maybe you haven't yet set up your own publishing company at a performing rights organization, a PRO.
Maybe quickly define PRO for anyone new to this.
Oh, sure. Good point. So a PRO like SCAP, BMI, or CSAC in the U.S., or similar ones globally, that's the organization that tracks the public performance use of your music.
Hmm.
Think radio play, live venue performances, TV shows using your track.
Sound it?
They collect those specific royalties. Setting up with a PRO is a huge step, and SongDex helps manage the underlying song data before or alongside that process.
So if you're independent, you're basically your own admin assistant, right? And SongDex becomes your digital filing cabinet. You set up an account, you search. If your songs aren't there, you can manually add them. It really does seem to empower the individual creator.
It absolutely does. However, and this is probably the most critical piece of information we pulled from the source material, it's the distinction that seems to trip up almost every new user. Registering your data in SongDex is necessary. It's vital. But it is not sufficient to actually get paid.
Ah, okay, that's the crucial disconnect then. Why not? If I've gone in, I've claimed my song, I've registered it in SongDex, why isn't the money flowing yet?
You almost have to think of SongDex as the map, right?
Yeah.
It tells the system who the money belongs to, the writer shares, the publisher shares, the specific work details, the song splits.
Okay, the map.
But if you haven't also established your main Music Reports account, you haven't set up the, let's call it the bank account or the destination to actually receive the money that Music Reports collects.
Oh, I see.
The data flows into Songdex to confirm ownership and splits, but the actual payment mechanism still links back to that main Music Reports administrative account.
Yeah.
You absolutely need both pieces connected to complete the loop and get the royalties moving.
Wow. Okay. So if you do all that hard work in Songdex, finding, claiming, registering,
right,
but you neglect to finalize the full registration with Music Reports itself, you're still leaving that money stuck in limbo, even though you've identified it.
Precisely. You put your flag on the treasure map, but you haven't given them the address to send the chest to. And this directly leads to the essential warning from the source material. Users really must register via either Songdex or the main Music Report system for a new work. Choose one pathway.
Not both.
Definitely not both. The absolute last thing you want, as the source says, is to have a lot of duplicates in the system.
Right. That sounds like an administrative nightmare.
It creates massive friction. It slows down the payment process, not just for you, but potentially for everyone involved with that track. Duplication is really the enemy of efficient rights management.
This has been a really illuminating deep dive. It shines a light on a system that works mostly behind the scenes, but is just absolutely vital for the livelihood of creators today. Songdex really does seem like this comprehensive resource that, well, genuinely empowers independent creators to manage their rights, track their income flow, and just generally simplify what can be a really dizzying world of music business admin.
I agree. And if you connect it to the bigger picture, you know, the source material mentioned the excitement around empowering you to handle your music's business, especially after decades in the industry.
Yeah.
And that excitement feels justified, I think. A tool like Songdex represents a real shift towards creator autonomy, gives the individual the power to actually control their data. And ultimately, the data is where the money flows from in this digital age.
Mm. It certainly seems that way. Okay, so here's a final thought, maybe something provocative for you, the listener, to chew on. Considering that Songdex's core function includes identifying and claiming unmatched works, and it sits on top of what they claim is the largest database of commercially significant music, just how much money are we talking? Tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars might currently be sitting unclaimed in that system right now, just waiting for an account login, a few careful searches and clicks from the independent creators who actually earned it. It really makes you wonder about the scale of that hidden economy in music royalties.